WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Vice President J.D. Vance was in the U.K. today meeting with European and Ukrainian officials to discuss Russia's war in Ukraine. A meeting between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin is set for this Friday. Israeli leaders have approved a plan to expand military operations and fully occupy Gaza, but the families of hostages held by Hamas are calling the move a death sentence for their loved ones.
If you invade parts of Gaza and the hostages are murdered, we will pursue you in the town squares, in election campaigns, and at every time and place.
Israel says the move is crucial to bringing the war to an end. Severe weather is impacting much of the western half of the country. ABC News meteorologist Jeff Banson.
Fire weather danger from parts of southern Wyoming down to Colorado and Utah. Careful with any kind of open flames, especially with how dry the air is, how gusty some of the winds could be.
This is ABC News. A new study finds the majority of the calories that Americans consume come from ultra-processed foods, about 55%. ABC's Ike Ajayi has more.
UPFs are factory-made with added sugars, salts, fats, and ingredients such as preservatives or artificial colors not typically used in home cooking. Now, these foods often come in ready-to-eat packages, and while convenient, they can lead to weight gain, increased risk of heart disease and diabetes, and can affect mood and mental health.
The study finds the percentage is even higher for kids, up to 65% of calories coming from USPs for kids between the ages of 6 and 11. At Gillette Stadium in Massachusetts, the New England Patriots pulled the wraps off a new bronze statue of former quarterback Tom Brady.
When I was drafted, I just hoped to make the team. I never dreamed I'd be standing here 2.5 decades later, made of bronze and frozen in time.
Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The John and Gordy Show.
I can also text if I wanted to. And
while you're driving your space car. Space car drives itself.
Space car does. It drives itself. Every once in a while, it'll tell you, please put your hands on the steering wheel. They think, well, why? Why drive yourself? A contradiction. But then I actually do put my hands on the steering wheel just for the hell of it.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years,
yeah,
to let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shelley Pittman. Health researchers are learning more about the human costs linked to transportation emissions. Mike Moen with the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
A new study says the world could prevent nearly 2 million deaths by 2040 if policymakers take a more aggressive and effective approach reducing transportation emissions. A regional health expert also outlines the daily impact in places like Wisconsin. A group of global researchers is out with new findings that say if the status quo remains, tailpipe emissions will double the number of premature deaths and asthma cases in children in underdeveloped areas. Midwest-based doctor Daniel Trajano is with Health Professionals for a Healthy Climate, and he says locally, emissions disrupt day-to-day life for a lot of people.
Other cases, they make you sick enough, or you're not breathing well, and you know, I got to take several days of school or work off, and that certainly will lead to decreased productivity in the community.
Trajano says air pollution is often associated with large metro areas, but he adds breathing in unhealthy fumes from cars and trucks is a problem in smaller towns and cities, too. He points to kids forced to take longer school bus rides in rural areas, and other studies have found that pollutants can be even more harmful inside a bus. Trajano makes renewed calls for more electric school buses so that kids avoid conditions like asthma and can focus on learning. As for buying an electric car, auto industry analysts say despite sticker shock for some car buyers, EV prices are coming down as technology improves. The authors behind the global study say there needs to be a comprehensive approach to cleaning up the transportation sector beyond sales. The U.S. has made electric vehicle gains but lags behind places like China and Europe. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Find more news anytime at civicmedia.us.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Flood watch is in effect for the potential of heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and storms around. Warm and muggy with lows in the upper 60s to 70. And still a chance of storms tomorrow. Rather muggy with highs in the low 80s. Less humidity Monday. Currently at 75 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Take a look back at the big sports events. The Packers kick off the preseason and the Brewers try to continue the winning streak, and a little news as well. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello, and welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. The first show in this second hour is the Maggie Dawn Show. And filling in for Maggie Dawn is Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang, who sit down with Judge Chris Taylor, who's a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, to talk about her campaign.
Actually, Maggie's not here. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm guest hosting for Maggie today, along with my stellar co-host, Angela Lang. We like to do this together. Over the last several months, and it's always a joy, Angela, to be here with you.
Same, likewise. And thanks, Judge Taylor, for being here.
Yeah,
well, thanks so much for having me.
We've got appellate court judge Chris Taylor on the stream with us. She is running for Wisconsin Supreme Court, and you can join our conversation anytime by phone or by text. The number for both is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to talk with Judge Taylor, just give us a holler. Judge Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
You know, Justice Susan Crawford was sworn in just the other day. Were you there? What do you make of her ascendancy?
Oh, I was just so thrilled. Just absolutely thrilled. I was so proud of the people of the state of Wisconsin who rejected the efforts of the richest man in the world to buy a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I just was inspired by that. I was so proud of the people of the state. I was so proud to be from Wisconsin. And I thought it was a great celebration of the democratic process and the people having the say, the ultimate say in who they elect to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So it was a celebration, in my opinion. It was a celebration of democracy, judicial independence, fairness. I just have the utmost respect for Justice Crawford. I served with her when I was a circuit court judge. She's going to do a great job. She is just so conscientious and so committed to considering the different sides and issues and applying the law in the most just way that she can. So I'm really excited to see that and see her there.
It was an inspiring victory and a black eye for Elon Musk. And he deserves them.
We needed that. I mean, so with that being said, too, that was going to be one of my first questions is, like, what are the lessons learned from the Crawford campaign? I mean, We've been dealing with state Supreme Court races and tensions for years now, right? We've kind of gotten used to it. But the last cycle felt very different. There was this new element with, you know, the Trump administration and Elon with these million-dollar checks. What are any lessons learned? Because I think we also might be entering some new territory if that's how our last election was. What are you thinking about doing things differently the next time?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, I think one thing that people are really realizing is that they are not going to be able to depend on the U.S. Supreme Court to protect our democracy and to protect our rights. That is going to happen in the state. And this, what it's going to come down to, I think, given the abdication of the U.S. Supreme Court on their role in checking unlawful conduct by the other two branches of government, is it's going to come down to our state Supreme Court to really stand up for people, to really defend our democracy, to really defend due process and people's constitutional rights. And so I think that was something that the people of the state of Wisconsin really understood. I also think the other thing that's happening is people are really seeing how important it is to have an independent judiciary, to have a judiciary that's not under the thumb of the other two branches of government. And I really saw this so clearly when I was in the legislature and there were things happening. And I remember thinking, wow, some of these bills that are being passed are just not good for the people. They're not lawful. They're not constitutional. But at that time, we didn't have a state Supreme Court that was willing to check the state legislature. And it was a terrible feeling, a very helpless feeling, because the court, that is one of the central roles of the state Supreme Court, is to make sure the other branches of government are not acting in unlawful and unconstitutional ways. So I think people are really understanding the importance of the court. And then I think the third lesson is that people want the court not only to be independent and not only to check the power of the two other branches, but they want a court who's in their, on their side, who's going to be in their corner, who is going to stand up for everyday Wisconsinites, not the most powerful special interests, not the people who have all the power. And that's really what I think Justice Rebecca Bradley, who I'm running against, that has been what she's done. I think that she has not stood up for the people of the state of Wisconsin, but has been under the thumb of these right-wing special interests like the Federalist Society and these other groups that have a lot of power. But for me, this campaign is about, and I think Susan Crawford's victory is about the power of the people collectively, mm-hmm. that they should be at the center of their government, and they have the power to control that, to control their government and to make sure their government is really standing up for them and is really reflecting what they need from the judiciary, what they need from the legislature. So I think those are three lessons, certainly that I'm watching and learning, but I think our state has really shown the country and the world that we're understanding that really clearly here in Wisconsin.
We're speaking with Judge Chris Taylor, who's running for the state Supreme Court. And now you're sure Rebecca Bradley is running? I guess she hasn't raised any money.
That was going to be my question. I'm like, are we sure she's running?
Well, you know, she said she's running. She announced the night that Susan Crawford was elected, when she also said she did not want to work with Susan Crawford, which I was really quite appalled by those comments.
It was tacky, in my opinion. Well, it was tacky.
And
I will say that. You don't have to. I will.
Well, this is what I'm going to say. As an appellate court judge now, is particularly concerning because we write decisions in panels. Mm-hmm. I do write some individual decisions on the appellate court, but mostly I'm writing in a panel of three judges, and the Supreme Court writes in a panel of seven. I mean, they sit around a conference table and talk about, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, as appellate judges, listen to our colleagues, consider other opinions, because, you know, I know I don't know everything. I know I learn from my colleagues, and hopefully they're learning from me. And so that discussion that happens when you're reviewing a case and when you're looking at the briefings and going through oral argument is so critical in reaching the best decision. And so if you're not willing to do that, you should not be on the appellate court.
I mean, she has shown Rebecca Bradley, the bad Bradley, as we call her on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that she doesn't have the judicial temperament to be there. I mean, she is vile toward even her fellow conservative Brian Hagedorn, both in writing decisions and then in public comments about him. So it's just a very peculiar approach to collegiality. I mean, she's not collegial at all, as referenced by her comment that she didn't want to work with Susan Crawford. I mean, what a ridiculous thing to say.
Well, and it means you really can't do the job.
Right.
Honestly, yeah. If you cannot have discussions with people who you might not see eye to eye with, I mean, that for me is, I actually like those discussions. Mm-hmm. I like talking to people who have different views than me, because what I know is I don't always know. I'm not always right. You know, I think we just, that's how we expand our minds. That's how we consider different opinions. And even the legislature, I really enjoyed figuring out, how do I work? What are the issues I can work with my some of my Republican colleagues who I might disagree with on a lot of things? But I was, you know, really, really happy that I found areas to work collectively with my colleagues on, when maybe, you know, we didn't agree on a lot of other things. But there's usually something you can find that you agree on and that you can work on. And that really brought me a lot of satisfaction. And I think, honestly, I did got some really important bill passed when I was in the legislature because of these conversations that I had with, you know, legislators. And in some ways, I didn't care if they were Democrat or Republican on these issues, as long as we could agree that was important. And that happens on the appellate court. I'm constantly having discussions with my colleagues who I'm on these panels with. We are always going back and forth. And what about this? And what about this case? And it's a really fun, stimulating environment. And if you don't have that, you're not going to write the best decisions.
We're speaking with Chris Taylor. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting along with Angela Lang here on the Maggie Dawn Show. You know, I think if and when you get on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I think you'd enjoy working with Justice Brian Hagedorn, who ran as an ultra conservative, but has ruled from the bench with an independent mind and also a moderate style in his writings by and large. And he wasn't afraid to join with his liberal partners there on the court on some really big cases. The biggest of all was the Trump versus Wisconsin case on the voting in 2020. And so I think that would be someone you could work with, don't you?
I can work with anybody. I mean, I really can. And I look forward. I'd be honored to work with Justice Hagedorn. I'd be honored to work with Justice Ziegler on the court. If I was on the court now, I'd be attempting to work with Rebecca Bradley. I mean, there's nobody I won't work with. And so, yes, absolutely. I look forward to working with him. I look forward to learning from him and hopefully, you know, maybe assisting him in thinking of different angles that he hasn't thought of. But that is the point of these appellate courts. And so, yes, that I welcome that.
You know, one of the things I think we've all learned here in Wisconsin since Scott Walker was first elected governor is how important statewide races are, how important even local races are, but races for governor, races for attorney general, races for Wisconsin Supreme Court, these are crucial. And I know there may be some listeners right now on civic media who are more concerned with Donald Trump and what happens at the national level, or more concerned what's going on in Congress. But the decisions by the Wisconsin Supreme Court impact us on a daily basis here. And you're right, Judge Taylor, that right now the only way to preserve our rights is through our state constitution and our state Supreme Court, because at the federal level, everything is in the hands of people who don't respect our rights. And that's why I want to encourage everyone to get involved locally in these races. And this is a crucial race. If people wanted to support you, how would they go about doing that, Judge Taylor?
Well, first of all, they can definitely go to my website, www.chris4justice.com. They can join the campaign. They can learn more, you know, go to my website, learn more about me, talk to your friends, talk to your families, talk to your community about why this race is so important. Come to events that we'll be having around the state. And, you know, those are some immediate ways that people can get involved. But this is, you know, this is a people-led campaign. If you care about justice, please join me.
Well, thanks so much for being our guest today, Judge Taylor. And we'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show. The number to call, 855-752-4842.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
Buying a home is kind of like eating pistachios. Some are easy to open, some take a little work, and every once in a while, you get a tough one that makes you question your life choices. That's where we come in. At Aaron Weber Group, we crack open the market and find you the perfect home. Whether you're looking for a cozy starter home or a mansion with a snack pantry big enough for a lifetime supply of pistachios, we've got you covered. Call Aaron Weber Group at Powered by Compass today. We'll help you find a home that's nothing but perfect.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, and we are back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We're here with Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, who welcomes Madison film critic Rob Thomas to discuss this year's standout movies and the charm of strip mall bars. The episode wraps up with a chat about the dining gem Tornado Club and Madison's National Mustard Museum.
Welcome back. I think that was like the first song we played. The bumper tune. One of the first ones. Because everything I picked was like, had to have night in it. Because it was Nightlight. But that's when we were on at like 10 o'clock at night.
Well, it's so. Actually, like you said before, break. This is Netflix. Not Nightlight. It's Netflix.
It's Peach Wabba and Netflix. I would kill to be Netflix.
Yeah, right.
They own everything. Our question of the night, folks. You still have time to get something in. It's National Fresh Breath Day. What is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? Would you do it? Would you ignore it and bear it and just let your eyes well up with tears? What do you do? And our next guest would not know anything about this because he has about the freshest smelling breath I've ever. And I, within 10 feet of the guy, you know he has great breath. And he is also a film critic in Madison. And he is the City Cast of Madison newsletter editor and does fine work there. You can also follow his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas. That's a lot of stuff Rob's up to, Conrad.
Yeah.
He's a busy guy. And he joins us now here on Nightlight, as he so often does. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. My breath is fresh down here in Madison.
How do you do that? What's your secret?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't think I could tell somebody they had bad breath. I might just suddenly give them like a Mint Oreo or something and try and subtly improve the quality of their aroma.
I've been known to fake an injury and just go down. And then it's like, you know, I take a knee and then they don't know. They're none the wiser. Or a good head fake too can get you out of some.
There you go.
Some bad breath radius. Hey, how are you, Rob? Are you having a good summer so far?
Yeah, the weather's been great down here in Madison after kind of a hot, sticky June and July. Yeah. Usually it's the reverse. So it's been great. Yeah, movie-wise, I feel like we're kind of over the summer movie season. And,
okay.
You know, right, the stuff coming into theaters is kind of low-key, I think. And
right.
Yeah.
Do you have any intention of seeing Naked Gun?
I would love to. I was actually going to go Sunday night, and then it was just so nice out. I went and rode bikes with my daughters, which was awesome.
Oh, it's tough to pass up, yeah.
But yeah, yeah. But I mean, watching the original 1988 movie with Leslie Nielsen in the theater.
Yeah.
One of the great movie experiences. And then I used to watch Police Squad on TV or like the early 80s, the TV show. So I'm all in on this. Did you saw it, right?
Listen, Police Squad ran for like maybe a half a season in the late 80s.
Six episodes.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm like, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And then it made a comeback, but I thought it was gone forever. And I thought it was so, like, when he looks in the telescope and he says, the microscope, he says, I don't have to look at DNA samples. He says, I don't see anything. Use your open eye, Frank. Oh, like, stuff like that. And I don't know, like, I saw Naked Gun. I don't think they totally captured that. There's some big laughs in this.
Yeah.
But Leslie Nielsen was born to be that guy, whether it was Airplane or Naked Gun, in my opinion.
And you know, Madison guys, right? Who did Airplane,
Zuckers,
and Naked Gun, Police Squad, the Zucker brothers. So yeah, there's a. Although I guess they got kind of froze out of this remake, from what I heard. They got paid, but when they wanted to, at least one of them wanted to offer some jokes, they were, you know, it was kind of the bad breath scenario. They were politely turned away.
Bad breath of movie involvement.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I read the thing with David Zucker yesterday that said he was developing a script where Drebin's son was in his 30s. This is years ago. So he had a great attitude, I thought. He said, I'm not going to see this movie. I don't need to see it. But I wish the director well. I'm glad comedies are back. He texted the director. I thought he had a very professional response to it, but I kind of get where he's coming from, too.
Yeah, that's nice, I think. But also, you know, I mean, I think I understand the need for the new writers and directors to do their own thing rather than lean on those guys. And one of them passed away, Jim Abrams. But
right.
But, you know, every generation gets their own Frank Drebin, I guess.
Exactly. Right? And Neeson's good, but he's like, he's just too much of an ass kicker, I think, you know, and it's like, I don't know. But anyway, there's some good laughs. I'd be curious to know what you think if you ever decide to check it out. Let's talk about Sketch. You reviewed the film on your Substack. You liked it a lot and you said it was better than like Harold and the Purple Crayon. Tell us about Sketch.
Yeah, it opens. I think it's having sneak previews tonight and then opens wide tomorrow. And when I saw the trailer, I thought, oh, this is like one of those, you know, power of imagination family films. And like the Harold and the Purple Crayon movie, or there was one called If last year with about imaginary friends with Ryan Reynolds. And they're just so like, I don't know, just so forced whimsy and like, but this one I thought was pretty fun. It was about this girl, probably 10, who is an artist and she's mourning her mother's passing, and she gets out all her negative emotions by scribbling in her notebook and drawing all these monsters and horrible for a 10-year-old images and stuff. And her dad's cool with it. And like, however it works, however you're processing things, that's great. But then there's like a magic pond, which, you know, most properties have, I think. Right. And
it's all how you look at it.
It is. I mean, you know, it's a perk on the real estate list. and all the monsters come to life and they're all like, they look like they're hand-drawn or paper mache and start terrorizing the town. So it reminded me a lot of Gremlins or The Goonies, those kind of 80s movies that like, they're kids movies, but like not for too young kids. They might be a little scary. It moves fast. It's really funny. The adult performances I think are great. Tony Hale from Arrested Development plays the dad. And so I thought it was good. Yeah, it was a nice surprise. I'll say that for sure. Yeah.
It's on my list now. And I don't watch a lot of kids films anymore, but like you recommended Flow and I watched that and loved it. And this has the same type of feel. Like I'll probably check this out just because it seems different. And it's getting a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes with like 30 reviews, which is really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a fun one.
All right. Rob Thomas is here, folks. We're going to do a quick break for news and we are coming right back. And he broke down the movie so far this year. We'll talk about that. And cool bars in Madison. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Vice President J.D. Vance was in the U.K. today meeting with European and Ukrainian officials to discuss Russia's war in Ukraine. A meeting between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin is set for this Friday. Israeli leaders have approved a plan to expand military operations and fully occupy Gaza. But the families of hostages held by Hamas are calling the move a death sentence for their loved ones.
If you invade parts of Gaza and the hostages are murdered, we will pursue you in the town squares, in election campaigns, and at every time and place.
Israel says the move is crucial to bringing the war to an end. Severe weather is impacting much of the western half of the country. ABC News meteorologist Jeff Banson.
Fire weather danger from parts of southern Wyoming down to Colorado and Utah. Careful with any kind of open flames, especially with how dry the air is, how gusty some of the winds could be.
This is ABC News.
It's the Packers and the Jets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Lambeau Field, where the Packers play their first of three preseason games tonight against the Jets. New York has a new head coach, Aaron Glenn, who says his quarterback, Justin Fields, and others are improving on offense.
That group in the back end is doing a hell of a job. And the other thing that we've been preaching, just emotional maturity. When things go bad, man, listen, this is a tough game, and things don't always happen as crisp as you want it, but you always got to get it out your mind and go on to the next play, and our guys did a good job of doing it.
Matt LaFleur says he's trying to remind players not to lose focus on what they've been taught on the practice field to across the street inside 1265 Lombardi Avenue.
One of the things that was good with, like, family night, first time being in front of that many people, and it's interesting to see how people don't always take what they've been training across the street into Lambeau. It's just another opportunity for these guys.
Baseball, the Brewers host the Mets tonight. Milwaukee winning a thriller last night, 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The music industry is still mourning the loss of Ozzy Osbourne. Wife Sharon Osbourne has said there will be a biopic of the rocker's life. Before you get too excited and think it's going to be all sex, drugs, and rock and roll, the Osbournes say it will focus on their marriage. The project was first announced in 2021, and all the Osbournes will play a role, with his children being listed as producers. Here's a Vigilante Justice news update. The Batman Part 2 has movement. Production will start filming in the spring of 2026, according to Variety. The film will not hit theaters until the following year, with a premiere date set for October 1 of 2027. Robert Pattinson is back to portray the Dark Knight. The production has been delayed several times, but all the ducks appear to be in a row. Matt Reeves is back in the director's chair. I was beginning to think this would never happen. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Flood watch is in effect for the potential of heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and storms around. Warm and muggy with lows in the upper 60s to 70. And still a chance of storms tomorrow. Rather muggy with highs in the low 80s. Less humidity Monday. Right now it's 76.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I didn't know what the hell Malort was, so here now, our own Carol, head of traffic, she's brought in Malort. Down the hatch, cheers to Malort. Now, it went down fairly smooth, but the back end is ridiculously terrible. Judas Priest, that's terrible. Once is enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like my time with women.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Monday morning, Pam Yonke returns with a report on what she did during her summer vacation.
And we'll blow the lid off why Trump was on the roof of the White House.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We are staying on the nightlight trend on the Civic Media Spotlight, where Pete Schwabe continues his conversation with Madison film critic Rob Thomas, who discusses this year's standout movies and the charm of strip mall bars.
And you can't come back.
Now,
can't come back.
Welcome back, folks. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. That song, you probably don't know this, Con, was featured in the show The Wire. What I'm very excited about, I think it was the end of season 3, there was this great montage they did. And Dan Schaefer is coming on the show next Thursday. We're going to have a special Wire talk because he loves The Wire. Political consultant here at political guru here at Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, will be here next Tuesday, tomorrow night on the show. Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Knitt will be here in studio, and DeAndre Marie, a local singer-songwriter, will be in the studio as well, singing. So it's kind of a Northeast Wisconsin theme tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Our question tonight in honor of Fresh Breath Day is, what is the best way to tell someone they have bad breath? Our pal, local actor Dan Davies says, just a quick question. Have you been chewing on your socks? That's a good one.
Have you?
I haven't.
That's good.
Dan has about the freshest breath. Not as fresh as Rob Thomas's breath, who joins us now over the stream from our state's capital in Madison. Rob is a film critic based out of Madison. Follow him at his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas, or you can read the CityCast Madison newsletter. Rob, as always, you guys had great articles in there. We'll get to some of those. What I want to ask you about first, though, you followed suit and you're doing like this thing that every film reviewer does. You're recapping the first 7/12 of the year. I love that.
I forgot.
That's so cliche, Rob.
Everybody does the first half. And then I was like, oh yeah, I guess I should have done that. I was on vacation around New Year, 4th of July. So I did the first 7/12. The only 7/12 top 10 list you'll find out there.
And that's what makes you unique. That's why you were such an effective film critic. So let's jump into your list. Hey, first of all, where can I see 40 Acres? You reviewed that on your Substack.
That was in theaters.
Okay.
About 6 weeks ago. I bet it's on video on demand now. I'm not sure, though.
I might actually watch that tonight. You gave it such a good review.
That's a good one.
Okay. So let's talk about your movies so far in the first 7/12 of the year of 2025. Number one, you have Black Bag, right?
Yeah. Nice. It's close between one and two, but Black Bag is just, I just think that's a perfect movie. I mean, right up my alley, British spy.
Yeah.
Thriller. But like much more about dialogue and performance and character than action. I mean, there's not one, but two dinner party scenes in that movie. So it's definitely not a John Wick movie, but you know, Michael Fassbender and Kate Blanchett, and it's so twisty, but I felt like I could follow it pretty clearly what was going on. The supporting performances are all great. Pierce Brosnan looks like he's never looked in a movie before. Very sort of old.
Right.
Cranky, and I really liked him in it. I think that's on Peacock now if people want to watch it. It gets off to a slow start, I would say, which I was hooked, but if you're expecting thrills and spills, you might be a little surprised, but I was locked in the whole time.
It's so great. Like I agree with you, it started slow, but I have so much confidence, or faith, I guess you'd say, in the right, I think it was David Kep, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I had faith in the writer and in Soderbergh's directing. I'm like, I know this is going to pick up. And it's not like it, like I didn't like it when it was slow. I don't mind a movie that breathes and they kind of gradually get into it. But that was a good one. And then you had Sinners number two, which I might say is my favorite of the year so far, just because it was so cool and different and like on every aspect, like the look of it, the script, the music, the direction, the acting. It was just a masterpiece, I thought.
I agree. Yeah. Like I said, they're close. Like Black Bag is very controlled and precise.
Right.
Whereas like Sinners is taking big, big swings.
And yes.
A couple of them, towards the end, I wasn't crazy about, which I won't spoil. But,
sure.
But like the way it mixes horror and historical drama, the way you just buy that Michael B. Jordan is two different people, like you just completely buy that.
Yeah.
Like, and both performances are Oscar worthy. And the way it's like, yeah, just so scary, but also thrilling and funny and very thoughtful, I think, about art and music and the way it's co-opted and the way it frees people. Like, it's just so much going on in that movie. Ryan Coogler, you know, should be able to do whatever he wants for the rest of his career.
Oh, yeah.
After that. So, yeah. I mean, and those, you know. There's 5/12 left of 2025, so positions may change.
Something could change. You know. Yeah. So
yeah.
I want to ask you about one more. You've got it rated really highly at number 3, and I think you just reviewed this recently in your Substack. I did not read that review, but Ephes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a great movie, and I just saw.
Tell me
it.
About that.
I think you'd really like it. It's a baseball movie, but a very different kind of baseball movie. It's set in, I'm going to say like Long Island or New England or something like that in the 90s. And it's these two amateur weekend teams that are playing on this field, which is going to be torn down to build a middle school. And some of the guys are old guys who, you know, this is the height of their athletic career.
Yeah.
Some of the guys are college guys who didn't quite make it, or, you know, former college ball players. And it really is less about the game than about observing all the different characters and their interactions. And it's fantastic. Like it's very funny. It's very unusual. Like sometimes you're watching the action in the field. Sometimes you're watching the people watching the action. The camera kind of roves around, and it's just very, you know, a comedy, but also kind of very poignant, I thought, in a way, and very wise. And, it didn't really get much of a release. Somebody in town, I think it was a local, the guy who runs the local video store kind of rented a theater and showed it. And that's why I reviewed it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was one of my best theaters. It's weird, weird title. Ephes.
Yeah.
And Ephes. A term I didn't know before, but I guess it's like a pitch that's so slow that it kind of psychs the batter out. They miss it.
They don't know what to
they're
do.
Like, well, I could hit this thing, and then somehow sneaks by. Yeah,
I thought that was a changeup. But Ephes must be like that to the 10th power.
That's not described in the movie. Anyway. Yeah.
You, F1 is on your list at number 7. My son has seen that. Also, has seen it twice, and I agree with your review perfectly. The human stuff is pretty basic, you say, but it's such a deeply pleasurable movie to watch. With all of the racing and as you say in your review, you have to see it. You don't want to watch this one on the old black and white.
No, or on your phone.
On your phone,
Even though it's an Apple movie, I think. Yeah. But like, I saw it with my wife, and then when I was visiting my mom, we saw it because it was the one she wanted to see with Brad Pitt. And
sure,
I'm amazed how they made that movie, because when you realize like. I don't think when I saw it the first time I realized that they were shooting it on the F1 circuit. So they'd get the cars and the actors out right before the race and shoot for like 8 minutes and then get them all off. And it really makes you feel like you're in the driver's seat and you are, you know, in that world. And I understood a lot more, especially the second time I watched it, about the strategy of it, like how the drivers work together and when you take your pit stops and what tires you use. And it does a really good job of, like, it's not just go fast. It's like there's all these other strategic elements at play. So for me, that's one of those movies that's going to be, I think, really rewatchable. just because it's so fun to watch.
Very well said. My guest is Rob Thomas. He's a Madison-based film critic and the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Check it out if you haven't already. They do great work. Is there anything else coming up, Rob, in the summer that you're excited to see before we move on from movies?
I'm seeing TV shows that are kind of interesting to me in August, like this new Alien. Have you seen the trailer for that?
I've heard of it. I don't think I've seen the trailer.
Alien Earth. It looks kind of, it's the guy who did the Fargo TV show, which I love.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what he does with it. It's set on Earth. Well, it's called Alien Earth. Of course, it's set on Earth. And it's sort of more about like the evil corporation that you sort of hear about in the Alien movie. So I'm interested in that. I'm trying to think what else. There's one called, I love the Coen brothers. And one of the Coens has a movie coming out called Honey Don't with Margaret Qualley.
Right.
He made this movie last year called Drive Away Dolls that I did not like.
I didn't like it that much either.
I missed the brother. Missed Ethan badly.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a Coen brother, so I'll give it a shot for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So let's move on here. I thought this was great. I was in Madison all week last week and I stumbled. I went to have breakfast in Middleton at a place called Grace's, and I see the National Mustard Museum across the street, and National Mustard Day was August 2nd. I'm like, this is, serendipitous. So I walked in and I had Barry Levinson, who was the curator, on the show last week. He was a great guest, knew more about mustard than anybody combined. Why is the National Mustard Museum in Madison, Rob, or Middleton?
It's kind of wild. Like, yeah, Barry Levinson, the rumor is that like, he was an attorney in Wisconsin, worked for the state, and was a loved the Boston Red Sox. I don't know if he grew up there or what, but like when they lost the '86 World Series, he was so bereft. He went to the grocery store, and he tells the story that like the mustard was telling him, if you collect us, it will, or something like that. Even though like that, this was 3 years before Field of Dreams. So I'm a little suspicious, but like, and he's just started amassing this collection of mustards, and then had a little exhibition space in Mount Horeb that doubled that in size. And then now has moved to Middleton. And it really is this like destination where you can get like mustards from like all 50 states and 70 different countries. And there's all this like, old advertising for old mustard campaigns and promotional videos. And they have a mustard tasting every year where people come and try like super hot mustards and super unusual mustards. And then they have this thing that's like a big street festival where they have, obviously mustard brats and hot dogs and stuff. And last weekend I did try, the chocolate shop had a limited edition mustard sundae.
What?
Well, it wasn't that bad. It was basically a caramel ice cream with raspberry honey mustard on it, so it was pretty good. It wasn't like a, bright yellow French's mustard.
Right. Yeah, but, we were amazed at all the stuff. He told us that story, too, about how he was staring at the mustard after the Red Sox lost. It was just such a great story.
Yeah.
That's great. And it's a great space, too. It's a really nice, sparkling when you walk in there. It's incredible.
And it's right downtown. Yeah.
All right. So I want to ask you, Rob, we're going to do a very short break, and I want to ask you about strip mall bars, because you seem to have an opinion on those. And then also, I ate last week, and we'll get into this after the break, but my son came over from Milwaukee and hung out with me last Saturday, and we went to the Tornado Club, and I want to talk to you about that too. So we'll do that all coming up next. Let's bang a text out here, Con, if we can. How much time we got? We got like 3 minutes to the break? Oh no, it's coming up. Conrad's got the fist up. That means get to the break. John Murray, our pal John, says, we all know better, don't we? Unless it's your old... Oh, wait. No, I got to read. All right. He has another text I have to read first. We'll do that after the break. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out... Connecting audiences...
powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. With sinking approval ratings and the 2026 midterms looming, President Donald Trump asked Texas legislators to further gerrymander congressional maps and preserve a GOP advantage in the U.S. House. Sinking to the challenge, Democratic states are threatening to cheat in their states, too. States rarely redistrict mid-decade. Trump's unfavorable ratings reached 56% in a July 28th Economist YouGov poll, and with only a 219-212 GOP advantage in the U.S. House, Trump asked the Texas legislature for help. The GOP already has 25 of the state's 38 U.S. House seats, but July 30th, the legislature unveiled a map targeting Democratic districts in Austin, Dallas, Houston, and South Texas to gain an extra 5 GOP seats, according to the Texas Tribune. Ohio, another GOP-dominated state, is also redistricting, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis suggested his state's congressional map may have, quote, defects that need to be remedied. Leaders in blue states, including California, Illinois, Maryland, and New York, have threatened to counteract gerrymandered GOP gains. While California Governor Gavin Newsom threatened, his state uses a constitutionally protected independent redistricting commission, as do six other blue states, making it harder to game the system. We have all our Redistricting Week reports at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Found an injured, sick, or orphaned wild animal? Dane County Humane Society's Wildlife Center can help. Call 608-287-3235 or visit giveshelter.org/wildlife for what to do next.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And last but certainly not least, we have Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. The future is being built in Superior with a successful first phase for the state's first city-owned open-access broadband network. The plans predate the pandemic, but it was President Biden's American Rescue Plan that really got things rolling. On Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, he sits down with Superior Mayor Jim Payne about how the city is beefing up its online connections by replacing monopoly control with competitive pricing from multiple internet service providers.
7:52, we're back now. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, and our new D.C. correspondent, Cam Stevenson, has a D.C. newsletter called Below the Beltway. You can read it at beltway.news. or through couriernewsroom.com, and his latest column is about what's happening in Texas. Texas tries to oust elected officials through legal gerrymandering and illegal schemes. Again, Below the Beltway from Cam Stevenson of Courier Newsroom. All right, let's turn to our Way Up North segment and talk to Jim Payne again, mayor of Superior, all about what's happening in the northwestern corner of the state. And this time around, we're going to be talking about high-speed internet and the things that local governments can do rather than simply sitting around and waiting for the private sector to discover that you're there. Mayor Jim Payne, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, Pat?
I'm great. It's so nice to see you here. I know that Superior is not the first, but definitely the latest in communities that have been looking for ways to kind of move the process along of making sure that your residents have access to broadband, which is the term for high-speed internet. So what is happening right there right now? What is it that you're kicking off?
Well, we're certainly not the first to recognize the need for high-speed, reliable, and affordable access to the internet, but we're the first city in Wisconsin, the first community of any kind, to create a publicly owned open access broadband network. There is no other network of our kind in Wisconsin. And it's a unique public-private partnership where we own the actual network, the physical network, and we sell internet access to private internet service providers who in turn sell it to customers. So they compete freely on our network the same way multiple delivery services, UPS, FedEx, US Postal Service compete on the roads that the city builds. So it combines public infrastructure with private competition.
And that, I'm glad to hear that explanation, because when I first heard about it, it made me wonder about a law that the Republican-led legislature passed several years ago that essentially was a ban on municipal networks, especially Wi-Fi networks. Again, not wanting, you know, the public sector to compete with the private sector. A lot of people were upset by that, saying, hey, look, in some of these smaller communities, the private sector isn't coming up here anytime soon. They're only going to want to serve the big cities. So why block local units of government that want to provide this kind of service? It sounds like you have found the right path through of you're not the internet provider, but you have made it easier for the private sectors to come up here and extend service that they otherwise wouldn't do on their own. Does that sound about right?
Almost. The biggest difference is people don't have to come here to provide the internet. People are already here that can provide the internet. So because all we require people to do is be an ISP, they don't have to own this gigantic physical network, a multi-million dollar investment. That allows small businesses to go into business selling the internet to customers. So one of our first ISPs, it came from Duluth, Minnesota, right next door, and is now headquartered in Superior. It's a really small business. They only serve this community on our network. So what we did is, rather than have a giant monopoly, which was what almost every city in the country has, selling us internet at whatever price they want, our monopoly Spectrum, they actually raised the price of the internet during the pandemic. That was a kind of, we just saw that as unconscionable. How can you exploit people that way? So what we did is we combined what I thought is the best of the political philosophies on the left and the right. We believe in private sector competition to lower prices and increase innovation.
And is it a network that is accessible to everybody in the Superior area now, or is it starting in one area and building out?
No, we started in a pilot area, one neighborhood. It's actually my neighborhood. I'm talking to you on it right now. And so it was meant to show skeptics that this could actually work. One of the early successes, though, is our construction costs actually came in so far under budget that we're building out much faster than we had originally planned. So we will be lighting up the next neighborhood already this fall.
And how is it that the city was able to afford to do its part of this public-private partnership?
Joe Biden, really. The ARPA dollars that came to every community in the country. What a lot of people forget is that the ARPA dollars, which have been used for so many different things across the country, were primarily meant for utility infrastructure. And the first utility described in that law is access to broadband. And so we just took them at their word, and we used it to build a network. And so the first $5 million plus of this network was covered by that bill.
So President Biden had this American recovery plan and had a mission for it. And you took that literally and seriously and made it work. It sounds like perhaps the most textbook case of ARPA funds doing what they were intended to do at the time.
Exactly. In fact, we've been trying to build this network since before the pandemic, but the pandemic proved every single argument we made correct. When we had to send people home from work, send children home from school, and they did not have access to the internet, that meant they didn't go to school, Pat. That's what it meant. And people are still trying to pretend like that didn't happen. We lost a generation of kids that should have been educated and weren't, because they didn't have access to this vital public infrastructure. The Biden administration gave us money to solve that problem, make sure that never happened again. And that's what we spent it on.
That's incredible. And you said another neighborhood is coming. How long do you think it might take for most, if not all, of the city to be served?
That's a political question. you asked me, I'd like to get it done in the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have to prove that it's a success. I think we're already doing that. Like I said, we need to get to a 10% take rate. 10% of the area should be customers by the end of the year. I think we're going to cross that in the next month. And if we can show real success by the fall of next year, I think we'll have justified moving quite a bit faster than our original forecast of 5 to 7 years.
Superior Mayor Jim Payne with a great update from way up north. Jim, thank you so much. Good to talk to you again, Mr. Mayor. Have a wonderful day.
Always fun. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Coming up in our next hour, we'll be talking to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO about the stories that he's following there. And then later, Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman will join us, and we'll talk about the 60th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act and what the attacks on it could mean for voting in Wisconsin as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. No word yet of a motive in what police say was the shooting by Patrick White from a drugstore at Emory University in Atlanta yesterday, hitting several buildings of the Federal Centers for Disease Control. A neighbor.
He had a really weird interaction on our Ring doorbell trying to get our attention about bats in our attic. And that was the only time we've ever spoken to him.
Police say White died from a gunshot. A police officer was killed. Rejecting a President Trump proposal to have Ukraine and Russia swap land to end the war, Ukrainian President Zelensky says any decisions made without Ukraine won't achieve anything. All evacuation orders lifted and no reports of any homes destroyed as fire officials make progress in the wildfire in the mountains near the Los Angeles and Ventura County border. ABC's Alex Stone in L.A.
They say that this was a success story, that they were able to protect so many homes in these canyons and that they did not burn.
There is a storm and flash flood threat in the plains and Midwest. This is ABC News.